Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are closing out our year-long series on prayer. And with the exception, I think, of maybe three Sunday mornings, we've had messages on prayer all of those days and all throughout the Sunday mornings of this year. And so we're looking forward to, we'll have one more. Well, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We are going to have at least one more message on prayer next week. If you'll read responsively with me, the even verses out loud, I'll read the odd verses by myself. Here in 1 Timothy, we're going to read the entire chapter for sake of context. But it's only 16 verses, so we can make it through easily. But I'll begin in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them, which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For there we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, we went ahead and read the whole chapter here for a particular purpose, because we need to understand the idea of what's going on, if you will, in Paul's mind as he is talking to Timothy. And don't forget, Timothy is a preacher boy, if you will. He's a young pastor in training. We know through history that Timothy pastored at least the Church of Ephesus and probably a few others in his lifetime. But you have to understand that Paul is wanting Timothy to be able to help people as a pastor and help people be the best Christians they can be as a pastor. And so he's going through and he's giving a whole bunch of different things, and he's giving some warnings, he's giving some encouragements, and he's giving some instruction. He's giving some direction of how Timothy not only is to behave himself, but to teach people how to behave themselves. And by the way, one of the phrases he gives in the end, he says that he's supposed to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So he's supposed to live the life showing to the people of God how to be. Well, I think it's curious that he begins here and he talks about the false teachers and these people that are seducing spirits and teaching doctrines of devils and speaking in lies and hypocrisy, and they're doing it without any remorse. They have their consciences seared with a hot iron. They're bold in their lies, and they're bold in their deception, and they have zero care as to what any consequences might be. By the way, the Bible tells us that the foolish and the wicked have no care of any consequences. It says they don't even regard God. They say that God is not even going to notice their sin. Okay? And by the way, they don't even acknowledge it as sin. And so you understand that that's the world we live in. But he gives some specific ideas here of some of these doctrines of devils, some of these things that these people say are true and they're not true. By the way, just look at religion today. Okay? It's all over religion today. And listen, that's why I tell people, look, the things that we say and we do, people have asked me before, well, Pastor, we know you're an independent Baptist church, but what rules do you have? I said, I don't have any rules. I said, our Baptist church doesn't have any rules. I said, the Bible has rules. See, we didn't sit down in a council, or if you will, or I didn't go back and look at the councils of the Baptist, independent Baptists of the past, and make up the doctrines and things, the rule, if you will, the rules of our church. I didn't do that. They just come from here. So they're not the Baptist rules. They're not this church's rules. They're God's rules. And they're the rules of this book, and that's how we should live. And that's how I explain it to people. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, these people, they've concocted these doctrines of devils, and their hypocrisies and their nonsense, their made up stuff. For instance, forbidding to marry. Not in the book. Okay? And he's just pointing it out. They say this is the way to do it. It's not the way to do it. He says, and commanding to abstain from meats. He's saying, that's not a thing. That's not what God says. And so he's talking about that. He says, and then he goes on to talk about how God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. He said, look, these things of life that God, marriage is one. The thing of eating meat, by the way, that's M-E-A-T. That's meat. Moo. Oink, oink. Okay, not bark, bark, or meow. But, you know. I mean, I guess you can, but no, thank you. We tried to get, well, on our hunting trip, we went to a Mexican restaurant. I tried to get one of the boys, there he is, Brother Nathan. He wouldn't do it. I'm going to get him one of these days. I said, order the lengua. He said, what's that? I said, you'll like it. That's cow tongue, okay? Come on, Hispanic people, give me a shout there, right? Yeah, cow tongue taco is a good thing, right? Yeah, not for me, but for him, maybe. No, I've actually tried them. I'd eat it. It's edible, okay? It's not my favorite thing. Like I don't do chicken gizzards either. They're just too rubbery, you know, too chewy. But to each his own. But it's to be received with thanksgiving, amen? That's what it says. And so he goes through this thing, but the thing I want to focus on, by the way, in context, he does specifically talk about the creatures of God being good, nothing to be refused, that's verse 4, if it be received with thanksgiving. It says, for it is sanctified. He says, by the word of God. So he says, by the word of God first. All right, I want you to understand that. Because it doesn't mean that, well, whatever I pray is sanctified by God because I prayed it. That's not true, folks. This has a connecting word. By the word of God and. Okay? So these things, they're not to be separated. They're to be put together. And prayer. Now, the word sanctified just simply means made holy or made consecrated or made set apart for a sacred service. So it has to fall in line with the criteria. And that's what I want to get to today and really want to focus on is this thing of sanctified by prayer. Because listen, when we come before God, that should be a holy time. Never to be careless, never, if you will, to be done in the flesh. Always to be done in the Spirit. We've already talked about Spirit prayer, right? Remember that? Holy Spirit prayer. He's got to be involved. He's got to be if you will, we've got to be in a particular place, in a particular mindset, because we are going before God. And that's what we have to understand. It's holy. Over in James, if you want to turn over there, in the book of James, and I want you to look at chapter 4. We've talked about this when we studied the book of James. But in these verses, he delineates this thing of what is to be prayed for, what is to be brought to God, and what is not to be prayed for or brought to God, if you will. Okay? So he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that ye war in your members? He says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. By the way, folks, that is not sanctified by prayer. How do you sanctify something that's unholy? How do you make what's unholy holy? You can't. Right? Unholy is unholy. Holy is holy. So you understand that the things that we ask for, the things that we desire, they have to meet, if you will, the criteria. Well, what's the criteria? Sanctified by the word and prayer. Okay? So in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have the written Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. But you understand that they go together. God is not going to contradict Himself. God the Son is not going to contradict God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict God the Son and God the Father. None of them are going to contradict each other. And by the way, I've said this many times and I'll say it over and over again, God's not going to contradict His Word. Because the time that He ever would to do that, He would cease to be God. He can't. You know, people want to, you know, agnostics or atheists, they want to ask these questions. Well, can God make a stone so big that He can't even lift it? Okay, stupid. What other dumb questions do you have? You know, that's about how I deal with them. I don't have any patience for that. But, no, God can't contradict His Word. We said, well, then he's not, you know, limitless. Well, if you will, God does have a limitation. He has to be holy. He has to be true. He cannot lie. So, if you will, God can't lie. Does that make Him not God? No, that makes Him God. You see what I mean? These people, you can very easily unravel their nonsense. But to think about it, it has to be holy. Sanctified. So when we talked about sanctified by prayer, what I'm trying to teach you today is to help us to all understand that some things are doctrines of devils. Some things are things that are old wives fables, if you will, and things that are not to be prayed for, if you will, or not to be asked for. Because you can't even say, I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Because it's not something Jesus would want you to have. Well, how do you know? The book says so. For instance, let me just give you an easy one here. Okay? I'll lob up a nice slow pitch for you. You can whack it out of the park. You go, you're having a hard financial time, right? And you go, I don't even know if I have, do I have anything today? I have a Freddy's coupon for a free steak burger. Amen. If you had money in your wallet, you go to the gas station, the old 7-Eleven over there, and you say, I got a dollar here, I need a lottery ticket. And you buy a lottery ticket. By the way, you shouldn't do this. You buy a lottery ticket, and you get it in your hand, and you begin to pray. Oh God, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, you're all spiritual. And you pray for God to bless that scratch-off ticket. You're laughing at me. This has happened. by good Christians. Thinking that God is going to bless that lottery ticket. Sanctified by prayer? Oh, by the way, wait, we did it wrong. We need to get two or three gathered together in His name. That'll work. Then God will bless it. Hey, I know this is bottom shelf, but come on, stay with me here. This is how we behave. This is how we do things. Or if you will, when you're praying and you make deals with God, right? God, if you give me this, just this one time, I'll never, or I'll always. How can you say that's sanctified by prayer? How can you say that's holy when it's unholy? God doesn't bargain. God doesn't deal in filthy lucre. God's not going to bless these things. God's not, because it's against the Word. Sanctified by the Word and prayer. God wants us to live that kind of life. And by the way, during your life and your time of prayer, now that we've studied it for a whole year, you should be able to very confidently, if you will, or boldly come before God with the right kind of prayer. To say that these things can be sanctified. By the way, you understand that by the time of this writing, it had been determined by all the council that God had abolished the meat thing. The clean and the unclean thing. Okay, so escargot was good to go. That's snails. Unless you know French, okay? By the way, I have not tried that. I don't think I want to. But I guess if the time presented itself, I may. But caviar is too salty for me. I don't like caviar. By the way, it wasn't the expensive stuff, okay? The cheap knockoff stuff, I'm sure. But what was that by? By the Word. Right? So he's telling Timothy, look, don't fall prey to these old wives' fables. Don't fall prey to these doctrines of devils. Don't fall prey to these seducing spirits. Don't fall prey to these lies and hypocrisy. These things that are not true, because they are given by God and they're to be received with thanksgiving from God. Even floppy bacon is to be received with thanksgiving. So I need to, you know, adjust myself for that. So, and that's what he's trying to say. So as he goes on and he talks about this, we have to understand the relationship of sanctified prayer. So what is the relationship? How is something sanctified by prayer? Well, by the way, we have to start with, it has to be sanctified by the Word. So we have to be in tune with the Word of God in order for something to be sanctified by prayer. It has to be in tune with the Word of God. You cannot separate them, folks. You can't just have sanctified by the Word of God and not sanctified by prayer, and sanctified by prayer and not sanctified by the Word of God. It's got to be both. And we've got to put them together and couple them together. By the way, I know many pastors and many people, many Christians, that pray with their Bibles open. Good idea. Because why? Because things are sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. So you understand that these things go together. So take your Bibles and turn over to John 14. We're going to take a quick flying here through this idea, and we'll be done today. But I want you to, you guys are listening fantastically. We may be out of here by one. That's great. Absolutely wonderful. John 14. And so we want to couple this idea because it's coupled together in Scripture. Why should I uncouple something that's coupled, right? God put it together. He wrote it this way for our edification and for our benefit. So, by the way, in verse, just in case you forgot, in verse 6, all right, devil. It just beeped at me. I need to turn it off. My apologies. You didn't hear it, but I did. No, I don't want a free gift. Okay. Tom Thumb says I have a free gift waiting for me. Okay. All right. He says here to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. That's what I'm doing today. So we need to remember that these things are to be received with thanksgiving, not to be refused, and it is done through the sanctification or the setting apart or the consecration or the making holy of things by the word of God and by prayer. So now over to John 14. Look at this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what's the condition, folks, of sanctified by the word and sanctified by prayer? What's the condition? It's done in Jesus' name, right? Which will signify what? Glory brought to God the Father. Folks, if the things you're asking for and the things that you're trying to sanctify is not going to glorify God, then it's not sanctified. Think about this. You say, but, okay, Pastor, let's go back to the actual idea of this with having pertained to meats. How does a cheeseburger, how does a bacon double cheeseburger give God the glory? Well, if it fuels my body that I use to serve God, then it gives him the glory. Do you understand that? And that, what does that have to do with? That has to do with motive. If the things that you're asking for, if you will, are to the glory of God, then that's what it's for. You say, well, what about the lottery thing? That can be for the... But no, but it violates the word of God. You see, a bacon double cheeseburger doesn't violate the word of God. You say, well, what about the Old Testament law? I did that on purpose. Because that's how those people sound. You ever notice that? That's how those people sound. It's funny. It doesn't matter who they are. They could be of any ethnicity, and that's how they sound. Isn't that strange? Come on, you're supposed to laugh. That's supposed to be funny. Okay, I thought it was funny. There we go again, sanctified by the word and prayer. So we've got to remember that these things asked in the name of Jesus, he's going to do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why would Jesus say, I'm going to do something that's going to shame my Father? Why would you even think that? By the way, you know, you say, well, I'm just gonna, you know, this thing of in the market today, I could really make a lot of money, you know, scamming people. And I'll give 50% to the church. And then you sit and pray, God, would you help make my day fruitful today that I can scam, you know, 100 old people out of their pension money. Right? Well, I'm sanctifying it by prayer, right? You say, why are you using these things? Because, unfortunately, some people think that way. But that's not sanctified by the word. That's not how we're supposed to behave, right? That's not how we're supposed to treat people. And how in the world can God be glorified by that? He can't be. Jesus said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what's the idea there? If you're going to ask it in Jesus' name, it's not going to bring shame to the Father. So sanctified prayer can't bring shame to the Father. Look at the next chapter, John 15. By the way, we're going to draw this to a conclusion you can understand, okay? Because I had to understand this too. Look at John 15. What is John 15 all about? All of you Bible scholars out there, what's it about? Abiding. Love that word, abiding. And by the way, sanctified prayer is abiding prayer. Because if you're praying something in Jesus' name to bring glory to the Father, you're close to them. And you're not going to do or say or ask anything that would separate you from them. Because you want to abide. Look at this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. Through the what? Through the word. Hey, by the way, what does sanctified mean? Holy, purified, pure, clean. Right? Okay, clean. We're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words, there's the words again, abide in you. So here's the if, right? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, now look what he says. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And here it is again. Herein is my Father glorified, right? So think about this. Not only is this these things that we ask to be sanctified by prayer, and by the word and by prayer, have to be bring glory to the Father. Can't shame the Father. But they have to be done in conjunction with the Son. Would Jesus approve? By the way, would Jesus approve of you giving thanks for the bacon that you ate for breakfast this morning? I hope you had bacon for breakfast. I didn't, but if you did, that's great. I had a bagel with cream cheese and then two donuts. And coffee. And you know what? I thank God for all of them. Even though the bagel and cream cheese and the donuts probably clog my arteries, I guess. But, you know, we'll ask God to overcome that. Overcome evil with good, right? But I need to do it when I'm walking in Jesus Christ. When I'm abiding in Him. Jesus needs to be a part of our prayers, folks. Because we need to ask when we're abiding in Him. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. Why? Because our wills will match up. And it will be sanctified, because whatever is prayed in His name is to glorify the Father. As we sanctify things through prayer, it needs to be things that Jesus would approve of. By the way, it should be things that Jesus Himself would pray for. You say, how do you know that? Read the accounts. Did Jesus pray? Did He pray prayers? He did. So guess what? If you pray for those things, they'll be approved. Because He prayed them. You understand? We've got to have that mindset. If you will, what would Jesus pray? What would Jesus approve of? Would Jesus approve of this? Would Jesus approve of that? Look, folks, we shouldn't sanctify anything in prayer that Jesus wouldn't approve. Because we abide in Him, and His words abide in us, and that's how it'll be. And we shall get what we will, because our will is set right, because it's with Jesus' will. That's how we have holy, consecrated, set apart for sacred services, sanctified prayer. Go over to, if you would, John 16, one more chapter over. Jesus said this in verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me again. A little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of His disciples among themselves, what is this that He saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that He saith? A little while, we cannot tell what He saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. By the way, what's he speaking of there? His death. Okay, remember? Them all shouting, crucify him, them all rejoicing of his death and suffering. The world, that is. And who was sorrowful? His disciples. Okay? Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Was it, by the way? Absolutely it was. He said, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. By the way, I cannot tell you how that actually feels. But I have seen that change of expression. Okay? The travail and then the joy. And by the way, when that baby is brought up and given to the mother, I'm an expert on that, by the way. I've seen it 13 times, okay? You can see it in her countenance, in her face. The anguish of the pain is gone. In an instant. And she, I can only speak, I've not watched any of your wives do this, okay? Just mine. I've seen it. Gentlemen, help me here. Yeah. It's just like that. That's what Jesus says this is. This joy here. So he goes on and he says this. He says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You understand that God wants us to have a life full of joy. But we have to ask it so that it will glorify God. And we have to ask it in conjunction with Jesus Christ. For it to be sanctified by prayer. Sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Go over to 2 Timothy, if you would, with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want you to understand that God wants us to have the things in life that make our life joyous. Okay? So he's not going to deny us those things if they're things that he has approved. That's why it's so important for us to live our lives by the word of God. Because these are the things that are approved. These are the things that we can trust, we can know, we can see, we can understand them. And guess what? If we live that way, we'll have a comfortable life, if you will. We'll have the life that God wants us to have. I've told you many times, a lot of people think that the rules of the Bible are constricting. They're actually not. They're liberating. Because you know the boundaries. And when you know the boundaries, you can live in freedom. Guess what? If a farmer puts out a barbed wire electrified fence, and the cows learn, maybe by some bumps and bruises or some scrapes or some zaps, where those boundaries are, once they figure out the boundaries, they live content in the fence. They do. And guess when they get out of the fence, or try to get out, when they're not contented anymore? That's by their own choice. Where are we supposed to live? Contented in the boundaries. Not trying to get out of the boundaries. Anyways, are you there in 2 Timothy? Look at chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay? You notice it doesn't say depart from sin. You know where sin starts? With iniquity. What was wrong with the devil? Hey, devil, you were perfect. You were created right. You were created beautiful in the sight of God until iniquity was found in thee. Okay, so he says that. He says that we are to live that way. Let me get over there. I lost my spot. There we go. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What is he saying, folks? That we're supposed to be sanctified. By the way, if we're sanctified, and he goes on, he says, flee also youthful lusts. By the way, what did James say? You have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. He says, but follow righteousness. By the way, what is one of the titles of Jesus? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Faith. Charity. Corinthians tells us if we don't have charity, we're nothing. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Peace. Where does peace come from? It comes from God. It says peace. But with them that call upon the Lord out of a what? Ooh. Pure heart. Pure. You see, although this concept is so simple, it's also at the same time extremely complex. Because this is the essence of prayer. That it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. It goes in line with our relationship with God. Praying for what we should pray for. Thinking of what we should think of. The motivation and the motive behind the things we ask of God and we come to God before has to be in the spirit, not in the flesh. Has to be out of a pure heart. Has to be putting away childish things. Has to be putting away things that wouldn't bring glory to the Father. That wouldn't indicate that we're abiding in Him. And that is the crux of things sanctified by prayer. God wants us to live that way. By the way, He doesn't just want us to live that way as individuals. He also wants us to live that way as a church. Yes, we're, according to Romans, we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, but also the church is to be sanctified. Remember, I mentioned just a moment ago how the scripture tells us where two or three are gathered in His name. Remember that? That's the church. And it's not to just go about getting whatever we want. You know, oh, I'm gonna go find two other people that believe like me and we're going to pray and get this thing. It's not going to meet the qualifications. We've got to understand that God wants us to draw nigh to Him. He wants us to abide in Him. He wants things in our lives to only bring glory to God the Father. God wants us to have a life of sanctified prayer by the Word of God. And that's the kind of prayer we need. In closing, and just to give you some thoughts, I want you to realize how special God says our prayers are. And by the way, your prayers and my prayers, there's a record of them kept. So they better be sanctified. They better be holy. They better be set apart. They better be consecrated unto God. In Revelation chapter 5, there's the description of some of these end time events. He says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. By the way, who is that? That's Jesus. And it says, having every one of them harps, these saints, these 24 elders, they had harps and they had golden vials full of odors. You say, wow, that's cool. That's really special. And by the way, they're going to pour them out. And it's going to be an offering, if you will, to God. He says, what are these odors? He says, which are the prayers of the saints.
Folks, that's special. You say, oh, when I go to God, you know, that's just for today. You know, I'm praying for my daily bread or praying for my sins to be. But folks, listen to me. Those are put into those golden vials. They better be sanctified. What? Remember that other part of the definition? Set apart for service. These 24 elders with the gold, with the harps and with the golden vials, they're going to be doing a service to God with your prayers. They better be sanctified. Revelation 8, verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. By the way, what was a censer? You know what a censer was? It's like a little box. And they put the incense in it. And they lit it, you know, they lit the incense and it smoked, you know, and they would wave it like this and it, the odor would go throughout the room, etc. Okay? It permeate that scent. It says that he had a censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. They better be sanctified. Sanctified by prayer. Are we supposed to make our requests known to God? Yes. But what do they need to be? They need to be sanctified requests. Sanctified prayers. Prayers that are holy, prayers that are pure, prayers that are righteous, prayers that are just, prayers that are approved, meet the approval of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not of our own selfish ambitions, not of our own lusts, not of our own filthy flesh, but of the Spirit and of God.